hello everybody, welcome back to another episode of A Place in the Conversation. My name is Dan Neiswanger. I'm here with my good friend Nick Everhart. Nick, why don't you say hello?
Hello. I'm happy to be here again with Dan. We've been having a lot of fun doing these podcasts and meeting a variety of people from across the community.
And today we're making a Place in the Conversation to allow Yesenia to share her story. And it is a unique story. It's a special story. And I'm sure that you are going to you're going to learn from it. I'm sure that you are going to be challenged by it, because I know that I have been. And so I'm excited about our time together today. And so joining Yesenia with us today is my wife, Nancy. And Nancy's joining us because Nancy was the director of GM Daycare when Yesenia was hired on to work with some of our kids. So Nancy, why don't you give a little bit of backstory and help us get the conversation started.
Well, 7 years ago, I was the director of GM Christian Daycare in Kennett Square, and I was in the position of always, it seemed like, trying to find staff and qualified teachers. And so I had an interview set up, and Yesenia walked in, and all I could see is that she was very, very nervous and kind of quiet. And as she explained her background, she had a background, was it kinder music? Yeah. Where she had been teaching music classes to early childhood students, and it was perfect for what we needed. But she kept mentioning things like, I'm not comfortable in English, and she was from Puerto Rico, and she kind of kept mentioning things like that, but as she talked about what she did with children, she was perfect. So we got towards the end of the interview, and I said, well, you know, when do you think you would want to start? And she said something along the lines of, well, I have to go home to Puerto Rico and pick my children up, and then we have to move back. And then, you know, I don't think it was very long. I think it was like a week or two. Yeah. It wasn't a long, drawn-out process. And Dan remembers, Dan was my supervisor at the time working in the church. And he said that I came in and said, you know, my experience in childcare was that I would hire people. And then that first day I would sit in my office for hours waiting for them to actually show up to the job. And a lot of people would get hired and never showed up. So here I had hired someone that had to go all the way back to Puerto Rico, pack up her children, move here, and show up for the first day of work. My other thing that I was really struggling with was, and Yesenia even admits now, she was very nervous. And it was her saying, you know, my English is not strong. I'm really better in Spanish. And I don't know, you know, if I can handle the English. And we were communicating well, but she kept bringing that up. And just that little voice inside was going, you know, is this the right decision? Is she going to fit in? Is she going to be able to handle the English? But ironically, my long-term vision was that we would become a bilingual center in English and Spanish because that reflects our community. But I still remember that little bit of doubt going, is she going to be able to do it with, you know, not being well-versed in English? Which, by the way, she was fine. That was more nerves, I think, than anything else. But I've always reflected upon that for going forward as a lesson learned, that was not a reason to not give somebody the job, that you know, the language piece was something that was going to be overcome, and that wasn't a reason not to hire her. And in a career of hiring people that's not stellar, this was one of the best hiring decisions I've ever made in my life. And it worked out great. And long vision wise, you know, now Yesenia is working in all of the classrooms at the center, you know, in English and Spanish with the children. So that came forward and happened in part because she's here working with them.
Yeah. So, Yesenia, I want to talk a little, I want you to share with us a little bit about what it was like for you to come to the interview and know that you're not just walking into an interview, like there's a lot more going on. And, you know, your husband was here and your children were back in Puerto Rico. And if you say yes, then you have a short window of time to go back and get your kids and transition them here to a new, you know, new country and new community and get them acclimated and start a new job. And what was that like for you?
It was very hard. my story started like we have a difficult situation in my family when we were living there. So this wasn't planned at all. So my husband had to come here first. So he came staying with, he stayed with my in-laws. And during that period of time that I was like waiting to see what happened, I doubt. So I, there was a, so at some point I said, I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna move. But, you know, I serve the Lord. So he always guided me in my life. So he put every, he arranged everything. But, you know, it's, it was by faith because, I mean, I had to leave everything behind, everything that I had, my family, my biggest support, to come here and start from zero. So when I finally decided I was gonna come, I started looking for jobs and I saw the jam position. So I called from my country. I call here. So I just travel. I travel just for the interview. And then I say, well, I have to go back and then come to get my kids and move all my stuff. And then I'll be back. So I just did it. I don't know how I did it because if you know me, I'm like very quiet, very shy, very insecure, as Nancy was saying. And I don't know how I did it. The Lord did it. So I remember I walked to the interview because I didn't have a car. And I was just walking by faith. And I went there and I talked to Nancy as much as I could. And then I went. I remember after I actually moved, I called a couple times to see when I was gonna start. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, so it is very hard, you know, leaving behind like your comfort, starting from zero in a country where everything's different. You don't know nothing. You don't know the places. You don't know the people. You don't know the language well enough to communicate with people like you wish you could. It is hard, but it's not impossible.
Yeah, that's it. And I just want to tell everybody, you know, that one of my favorite Yesenia stories is that all of the kids instantly loved her and all of the parents instantly loved her. And it was, oh, Miss Yesenia, oh, Miss Yesenia. And I would just walk down the hallways and just go, oh, Miss Yesenia, she's just amazing. And she was. But it was just everybody, it was the perfect fit, right? It was the perfect place for you. And so making that, you know, making that transition, making that step, as we thought about the podcast, you know, there's a couple things that, you know, that I want us to kind of explore a little bit. And, you know, the first is, you know, what it takes for someone to leave a place that they're familiar with and to come here and to step into something new and to step into opportunity. But the second piece is, that we need people to give those who are coming opportunity. And sometimes we look and we wonder, well, is this the right person? Is there one more block here that maybe, now I'm not willing to take the risk. And so we don't give that person the opportunity. And, you know, I would later on, you know, I would just kind of chuckle at Nancy and say, you know, how many people have you hired and never shown up to their first day of work, and you took the chance, you know, on the young lady from Puerto Rico who had to go back and get her children, and she's worked out amazing. And there's something, I don't know, there's something special about that, I think. And I think that's just really important. Yesenia, is there something you would want to share with people as you think about those first few years here? Because how long have you been here now?
7 years.
7 years. And so what was it like early on for you?
It's hard. Like, I will say it was like for the first, let's say, 4 years, I struggle, like feeling that I don't belong, maybe. Like, maybe I had times that I stop and think, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go back. I don't know what I'm doing here. But eventually, and I'm very thankful because in here, in Ajam, when I first started, I felt welcome. And I'm very thankful. I felt valued. I know some people can, you know, look at you, you're different, you don't even know how to speak the language well. But in here, I feel the opposite. I feel, you know, valued. Even though I was different, I felt like I have something to give, you know. And I'm always going to be thankful for that.
So talk about the music program that you do, because like the music program was one of the things that was important to you, you know, and you worked on that with some of the kids. What was that like?
Yeah, it's kinder music. We teach the kids through music activities and movement. I was doing that in my country like for 7 years. I would go to different daycares and private schools doing that. And in here, I've been doing it once a month with all the classrooms in here. Yeah.
Good. Nancy, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I think just when you're talking about having value, I mean, one of the weaknesses that we've had, which I think you would find in a lot of businesses in this area, is that I would get, as the director, I would get a lot of phone calls from Spanish-speaking people needing childcare services. And so, you know, Yesenia would help me out. And when people would come in, and she would help translate and answer questions. And it really filled that need, as well as, you know, the experience with the music classes and other pieces. But, you know, that value was there because you had a skill set that I definitely did not have. And, you know, off and on, it would depend on how many staff people that we had that can speak Spanish, because in this community, when you're serving the community, it's something that's essential.
Yeah. Nick, as you're listening, do you have a question?
Well, I'm just curious, how old are your children?
Right now, they're 14 and 17.
Okay. So they're in Kennett High School?
They're Avongrove.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I know, so my son-in-law is Hispanic, Latino, mm-hmm. and he grew up in Kennett. And I know what his youth was like and his experiences. And I worry now about my grandson and how he's going to be treated. And I just wonder, how do you feel about the way your children are being treated?
Actually, for them, it was very easy, mm-hmm. to adapt,
yeah.
to the new country. Yeah, it was easier than I thought.
Oh, that's good. I'm happy for that.
Yes. So one of them, the youngest one, at the beginning, this experience was sad for me, but then everything was right. So at school, at the beginning, he started was third grade. So one day he came home and his brother told me he was crying in the school bus. So when I asked him and I talked to him, so some other kids were like bugging him and bothering him and stuff because he couldn't speak the language well. So I went to school, I talked to the respective people, and they took care of it. And after that, so the kid that was the one bothering him turned into his best friend. Yeah. So, yeah. And then he, like, it took for him like 2 months to learn the language. So on second grade, he was on gifted program already. So everything worked out
fine for them. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that. I think things have gotten better in the last 20 years or so. I mean, I've lived in Kennett for a long time. My wife grew up here. You know, first there was an Italian community here, and then there was a lot of Puerto Ricans came here. Mm-hmm. And then they were pretty much replaced by Mexicans. And I wonder now, I think the community is much more receptive to people from other countries who speak different languages than it used to be. But I wonder, is there much of a Puerto Rican presence here in the Kennett community?
There are. I don't know all of them. I know a group.
Yeah.
It's not a lot, but there are some. Yeah, Puerto Ricans in the community. Yeah.
Yesenia, I know that one of the times that was hard for you was when you were here and there was the big storm.
Oh yeah.
Back home. You want to talk a little bit about that and like what that was like, being away from home and watching that?
All right, I'm going to try. So yeah, that was Hurricane Maria. It was a Category 5 hurricane. When everything passed and you turn on the TV and you see everything they're showing in the TV, and then you try to call your parents and you can't communicate. That was really hard because most of my family is over there. My husband's family is over there too. So it was like, I don't remember exact the time that we were unable to communicate with them. But for me, it was a very long time.
Yeah.
So on the first call that I got from my brother, I remember I was at church and I saw his call. I run and answer. And he just said, "Do you know a number from an ambulance?" And then everything, I couldn't hear anything else. And I wasn't able to communicate with him again. I'm like, "What's happening?" So I got a call from a cousin that lives in North Carolina. And he told me, he communicated with me, he told me, I was able to communicate with my mom. Your mom had an accident. Mm-hmm. She broke her leg, but stayed, you know, relaxed, whatever. So, and I couldn't communicate, and that was happening. Because she went out to get water. Since they didn't have the service, and I don't know how she fell, and she like broke her leg, like in two pieces. So that was the first news that I heard before after the hurricane, and it was very hard. And then the first time I could communicate with my dad, I remember, I said, "Hi, Dad, how are you?" And he just started to cry. I never heard my dad cry before. So, yeah. So as soon as I could, and then the things were a little bit better to travel, so I went there to be with my mom, take care of her for a little bit. And I remember Here, Pastor Dan and the church collected some offering to help with the families over there. Yeah, yeah, and I'm very thankful for that too. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Yesenia, I mean, it's just a your story is an amazing one, and you know, and I think it's. Like it's not easy, any of it. It's not easy, and yet you seem to walk through it so well, and that is for me. That's kind of what makes it attractive, right? What draws me to it anyway is just this fact that there was an opportunity. And you weren't gonna let anything stand in your way, and you grabbed the opportunity, and you've made the most of it. What would you say to somebody who is you 7 years ago, mm-hmm. or you 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. What advice would you give them?
Well, if I could do it, you can, because as I said, super shy, super insecure, super quiet. I don't like to take risks at all. But when the need is there, then I don't have a choice. I have to do it. Yeah. Just don't think too much. Just leave it to the Lord and do it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, He's going to take control of it. He's going to arrange everything, and you want to be able to do it. So just don't think too much about it and do what you need to do.
Yeah. Jacinta and I were talking yesterday about pieces of our life where we look back and we go, how in the world did we do that? But sometimes you have to do it. And whether it's even sometimes the challenging times, I look back and I'm glad that I did it, because it's made us who we are today. But we did say that there are things that we look back and we're shocked that we actually did it in the moment when we had to do it.
Yeah. So when Dan asked you that question, I was thinking about what you had said about walking with the Lord, and that the Lord had led you through this. Mm-hmm. And I thought there's something about your faith that sort of comes through in your presence. I can feel it being here with you. And I think that Nancy saw that when she interviewed you. And I think that's why she was willing to take the chance.
Yeah. Best decision ever.
Best decision ever. I tell you, it was a winner. It was a winner.
Well, and working with children, she was working with infants, infants to 18 months old in the beginning. And, you know, there was that insecurity of the language, but children know your heart. And they, like Dan said, they latched on to Jacinta immediately. And it didn't take the English, you know, to communicate with them. She was communicating with them through music and through that connection and the way she was handling them and playing with them. And children know, you know, children know when you care, and they know when you have that connection with them.
Yeah, that's all good.
And now I'm glad because I'm teaching them some Spanish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to see them interested in learning the language and trying to say the words. Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah.
And part of the reason, and I'm no longer at the center, but the reason that was a goal of mine is because children go into kindergarten here and elementary school here, and some of them only speak Spanish. And my goal was that some of our children would be there and they could be that help those first 2 weeks of school until they started to learn their way around and felt more comfortable. So it's more than colors and numbers. You know, what they're learning is some of that more so that they can be that. And if nothing else, hopefully the children coming out of this program are not going to judge somebody just because they only speak another language and they can't speak English. That's going to be their normal, because they're going to spend these young years hearing more than one language.
Yeah, that's really good. That's good. Anything else you would want to share with us? I mean, because honestly, when I asked you to do the podcast, It was a chore to get you to the chair. You told me no, you weren't going to do it. And then I said, well, think about it. And, you know, and then you told me yes. And apparently you thought that was a mistake. But we got you here. So is there anything else you would want to share?
Nothing comes to my mind.
Nothing comes to my mind. All right, we'll have to have you back for a second edition. Nick, you have any questions, thoughts, or anything?
No. Nancy? Thank you for deciding to come.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right. And so, people, as you're listening to this, I think there's a couple takeaways for me as we listen to the stories here. The first is that sometimes we are faced with things in our lives that they might feel overwhelming and they might feel difficult and they're going to push us out of our comfort zone. And the easier thing for us to do is to say no and to stay where we are and to stay comfortable and to not step into the new opportunity. But I think Yesenia is an example of somebody who saw the opportunity, who seized the opportunity, and it's been a blessing for her and her family. It's been a blessing for a lot of people all around her who have had the opportunity to get to know her and to learn from her. And the second piece of it, I think, is probably equally as important. And that is for those who are in positions and places where you are making decisions about who you are hiring, who you are bringing in to be a part of your organizations. Sometimes we look at things and we might say, yeah, this person brings just a little bit too much baggage for me. And it's going to be easier for me if I say no now and I don't have to deal with the baggage later. You're probably missing some really good people, some people with gifts and abilities and talents, people who have learned what it means to take risk, people who have learned a lot about who they are as they've taken those risks, and you're missing out on those people because you don't want to, for lack of a better phrase, take on some of the baggage. So maybe next time you're sitting down doing interviews, maybe next time you're interviewing candidates for a volunteer position or something, look a little bit wider, look a little bit deeper, and see the opportunity that exists before you. So thank you very much for being with us. And until next time, may you just be abundantly aware of the Spirit of God alive and well and at work in your world.